fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I'm going to wrap up this week. I'm talking about the temptation in the desert, Jesus' temptation. It's just so loaded with significance and importance, and so much is being revealed in it. As I said early in the week, what's being contrasted here by the gospel writer is Jesus is coming from the waters of baptism, being anointed by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit into spiritual conflict in the desert. Just that in itself tells us a lot about who we are and how God works in every one of his sons and daughters. And the people of Israel, it's a contrast between the people of Israel who came through a kind of baptism, and as Pharaoh pursued them and they went, God opened the Red Sea and they were led through dry shod, Scripture says, and it's a kind of baptism that they underwent. God's people were baptized, and the Pharaoh, the world, the enemy is destroyed, and God brings them into the desert to pass through to head toward a land of promise. That's an image, friends, of our existence. We're baptized into Christ, and we come out of baptism. First, we're in the world. We're immersed in the world, just like people of Israel were immersed in Egypt. In Pharaoh, in the place where of idols and false gods, we live in that world. And before we're baptized into Christ and brought from death to life and anointed by his Holy Spirit and become members of his people, we're in that world. We're subject to the powers of that world. We're slaves to it. And we're in bondage. And we need to be brought from bondage to freedom. And so we pass through the waters of baptism and we're put to death and brought to new life. And as Jesus comes through baptism and enters the desert, Israel entered its desert wanderings for 40 years, received God's command, the way to walk, the way to live, and they fell short. They disobeyed God. They worshiped idols. Here's the temptation. The story that's revealed there, the reality is the temptation in the human heart because of fear, because of sin, pride, lust, anger, all the things that are in the human heart, we're tempted to throw off God's commands. God's commands are a burden, or we don't want to wait on God. We don't want to trust God because life is too hard to trust God. I've got to take things under my own control, in my own power, and in my own way, or I won't survive. And so if I have to worship an idol, if I have to go somewhere else, that's what I'll do if it's going to lead me to where I want to go. So Israel fails. Jesus is tested for 40 days in the desert. He fasts, but he doesn't fail. He's the beloved son who knows his identity. He knows his destiny. His identity is Son of God, and he's Messiah. He's the one who's come to deal with all the enemies of the people of God. First, the enemies of Israel, and then the whole world. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And like everyone else who's gone before him, he's been tested. He's being tested here. And the enemy tries to seduce him just like he tries to seduce and tempt every single person, every human heart. Because as we saw yesterday, and the day before yesterday, the devil's strategy, his goal, is to get everyone to worship him. The gall of the enemy, I'm just thinking as I was reading that, he's tempting Jesus, and he said, look, I've got all this power in the world. You can have everything this world has to offer. I'll give it to you on one condition, if you worship me. That is so frightening when you think about it. The creature demanding, worship me. A powerful creature gone bad can really create havoc, right? The source of sin and evil and wickedness. You know, we're creatures of God. Look what happens to us. Men and women made in the image and likeness of God who refuse to honor God and give him thanks and create their own idols. And the capacity of human beings. I mean, look, think of Nazism. The nation state, Aryan race, all of it became an idol. And Hitler pursued it. And he whipped up an entire nation and more of people to kill and murder at a staggering level which the world had never seen before, quite that level. And to try to destroy the people of God, the people of Israel, the Jews. What do you think was driving him? He made a deal with the devil. He wanted his race and himself. He wanted to be God. He wanted to rule the world. 1,000-year reign. There's no way he could have done it without the help of Satan. It's impossible. Yes, he was, for some people, a charismatic figure, but I've listened to enough of his talks and his screaming and yelling. I know the conditions at the time that made people susceptible, all of that. There's a lot of human sin that goes into producing those conditions, but there's no way he could have risen to the power that he had without the help of Satan. And he wreaked unbelievable evil and havoc. And there's no accident that that rage was directed ultimately in such a powerful way and total way at the people of Israel, at the Jews. He had a particular hatred for them. He had a hatred for Christianity as well. And those who say, yeah, he somehow was Christian, they're out of their minds. He hated Christianity. He was more like Nietzsche. He hated Christianity because it was weak and pathetic. And it was the opposite of his race ideology and his eugenic ideas and the rest of it. So human beings can become monsters at a very high level when they take the temptation that Jesus is receiving here from the devil. If you worship me, I'll make you powerful. And it always ends up in the same place. The devil wants us dead and eternally enslaved to him. There really is a heaven and there really is a hell. And the devil wants us in hell. And I'm going to talk next week about it, especially in light of this year of mercy and Sister Faustina and what the Lord showed her about hell. So tune in next week. Let's talk about it. But okay, the final temptation in Luke's Gospel, verse 9, chapter 4. And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will give his angels charge to you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up lest you strike your foot against a stone. So remember the setting here. Jesus is at the end of 40 days of fasting and prayer. He's physically weakened, but he's spiritually probably just razor sharp. He's spiritually weakened. He's hungry, fatigued. And you know what we're like when we're hungry and fatigued, how susceptible we are to temptation and we're worried about ourselves. So the devil comes along trying to make Jesus stumble with misquoting the Bible, misquoting God's word. Remember, because Jesus told the devil two temptations ago that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so he's saying, hey, look, this came from the mouth of God. Do it. He's lying. That's not really what he's misquoting and misusing the verses. He's trying to confuse Jesus. So verse 12, and Jesus answered him, it is said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Jesus knows he's the tempter. St. Peter said, because he learned this from Jesus, resist the devil and he will flee from you. The Son of God is facing like the primordial kinds of temptation at a time of great physical weakness. And he trusted the Father. And he resisted the devil. And the devil fled, left. But verse 13, Luke says, and when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. That's what the devil does with us. In moments of weakness and crisis, he loves to start circling. When we're in a position of panic. Happens all the time in our culture, friends. Think about it. I'm thinking about all the insanity. You know, Canada just legalized euthanasia, assisted suicide, murder, saying everybody has a right, you know, to determine how they're going to die and when they're going to die. That's a lie. God gives life and God takes it away. That's the truth. It's another way in which the culture, being wise in its own eyes, being seduced by fear of suffering and having no solution to it, decides to usurp God's prerogative. He's the creator. He made us. The culture says suffering is bad. Nobody should have to suffer. And I'm the master of my own body. I'm the Lord of my own body and my own life, so I'm going to take it away. It's a demonic lie. It's the enemy, the Lord of death, serving up to a desperately pathetic culture that is relying only on its own wisdom and its own strength, being seduced one step at a time to enter more deeply into darkness and slavery. The answer to suffering is killing myself. The devil, the lord of this world, serves up death. The liar and the seducer serves up death as the solution to our deepest problems. That's what it means to live in a culture of death. Canada's, in many parts, it's abandoning the fear of God. I mean, we talk the language like this is mercy and, you know, this is caring for humanity. It's a lie. It's the same lie that says, I have a right to my own body, so if I don't want this child for any reason whatsoever, I can kill it. But hey, it's not murder. It's not really even killing. Of course it is. Because we can't live with ourselves and our conscience. We can't face the truth. I said yes. I might even have encouraged my girlfriend to take the life of that child. Because of my cowardice as a man, because of my self-centeredness, my fear of shame and embarrassment, my fear of responsibility, whatever it is. Friends, I realize Jesus is here to forgive us if we sincerely see what we have done. And we turn to him and say, Lord, forgive me, like the movie Jesus of Nazareth, the great scene where St. Peter begins to grasp who Jesus is and sees his own heart in relationship to Jesus. And he said, Jesus, forgive me. I'm just a stupid man. I'm a sinful man. And because of my own desire to please myself, and I give into lust, and I've abused your daughters, I've misused them, I've used them as means and not an end, I've desacralized the meaning of sex. Why? Because I want pleasure. Lord, because I wanted more and more and thought I needed more and more money, yes, I acted greedily, I acted foolishly, and I knew, you know, I was selling junk to people. But I was making so much money, I just couldn't say no. Lord, I'm sorry. Yeah, my mom was sick, and she was in pain. And I frankly didn't want to take care of her anymore. And so we paraded in as the Good Samaritans, and we're going to encourage her to take her life. Instead of helping her remember her dignity before you, and that the only way she could ever live is to live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Lord, that's what I did. Friends, the world is the world. And the enemy manipulates the world and its powers to get us to conform to the will of Satan. That's a fact. He wants you to do what he tried to tempt Jesus to do. He wants you to worship him. And it begins by living the way he wants you to live. Resist him, friends. You're free. You're a child of God. Live in your identity. Walk as a son and daughter of God. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.